morning. My name is Danny Wilson. I'm from Iowa State University. And I'd first just like to thank everybody for coming this morning to the session. Hopefully it's a really good day. Today I'm going to be talking about a topic I've been working on for the last year. So the title of it is Bioenergy Feedstock Data, How Do We Learn From It? I'd first like to thank my co-authors, Emily Heaton, also from Iowa State, as well as Victor Walker, Amber Hoover, Rachel Emerson, Marnie Cortez, and Robert Kinoshita, all of Idaho National Lab. I'd also like to go ahead and thank the Department of Agronomy at Iowa State, also, like I said, Idaho National Lab, as well as the Sun Grant Initiative. So really the goal of today's presentation, I'm going to be talking about data management. Some of the goals that we should all be thinking about as a group is to be able to compile and share data, not only for ourselves, but for the community as a whole. Questions that we are asking ourselves, and I'm sure some of you are thinking about at the same time, where does this data go? What's the best way to store it? Will it be confidential? Is it in a safe and dependable location that we can make sure that it has continued support over time? All of this ties into data stewardship, something that we should all be very concerned and thinking about as researchers. I just have a question with a raise of hands. Who has heard of the Regional Feedstock Partnership? Perfect. Okay, so Iowa State has been one of the Switchgrass Regional Feedstock Partners since 2009. This is a display of what our plots look like located in central Iowa near Ames. It has several plots with differing nitrogen rates on those plots. We've taken a lot of data over the years. We've taken things such as pre-harvest information, pesticides that have been used, what rates, fertilizers, dates in which those things happen. So every year we have that management info. But we've also collected post-harvest information. So examples, average height at harvest, our bale yields, we've done some hand harvesting, when each of those things have occurred. Currently, all of our pre-harvest data management info has gone to Oak Ridge National Laboratory into their knowledge discovery framework system. All of our post-harvest data, all of that information has gone to Idaho National Lab in their bioenergy feedstock library. So currently everything's kind of going in two different directions. They're not talking to one another right now, but the talk today is going to focus on all of that post-harvest information going to Idaho National Lab. So, like I said, we've been working together over the last year, Iowa State working with INL and their bioenergy feedstock library, really with the goal of beta testing their library, working with them. I spent a few days out there in March working with the team and sort of working together on the Sun Grant data since that data is already in their library. The goals of the library are to record, store, track, analyze biomass feedstocks from the U.S. and internationally, hopefully with the goals of it providing support for academia and industry. So right now, the Bioenergy Feedstock Library is home to some 50,000 samples, approximately 70 different plant species, and materials that these could be blends and one conversion process. So I have here on this slide a snapshot of what you would actually find on the library. You can find out more information about the team. You can look at biomass info that has information about specific samples. You can actually request those same samples. They already have all the characterization done on those. You can compare it to your methods, those sort of things. Attribute graphs are available with detailed information about a specific crop type and those analyses. The least cost formulation is a mapping interface tool to be able to look at the variability and distribution across the country, considering harvest year, harvest radius, cost per ton. The analysis summary is basically a quick glimpse at all of the characteristics, all of the crops in the library. And the data that is in there. And finally, they have a blend prediction tool. So the blend prediction tool is an opportunity to select different blends. For example, if you were wanting to use a 60% blend of miscanthus with a 40% blend of switchgrass, you would be able to see what the characteristics of that blend would look like. So I'm sure we all know that a lot of our data is stored currently in Excel files, large Excel files, lots of columns, lots of headers. It's always really important to have those column headers. I've opened up Excel files before where that's not in there. So these should be all things that we're thinking about with data management, with the goal, hopefully we're creating these files before starting an experiment, but that doesn't always happen. But sometimes our metadata may end up in one place while our analyses end up in another place. So getting those together is really important. The bioenergy feedstock library, working with samples, they have a parent-child relationship. This uses a GWID identification, which is a unique 32-digit ID. I have that an example of one, so it's got a lot of numbers, some letters in there. This is also used for their barcoding system, an easy identification tool. So I want to walk you through sort of this parent-child relationship. It's really hard to grasp at first when thinking about this and managing our samples. So we have a miscanthus field in this case. So that's our parent stand, our parent sample, not just our parent stand. It's our parent sample. We go through, for example, and might hand harvest. We create a child. We subsample and fractionate into stems and leaves. We have created two new children. From there, we dry and we have a grinding process. We have created two new children. And finally, we do any of our type of analysis work, for example, total carbon, nitrogen, fibers, anything that might happen on those specific two samples. In addition, on our parent samples or parent field, we have measurements such as stem diameter, basal circumference, plant height. These are just examples. There might be numerous more. In addition, we also create another child by, in this case, doing a mechanical harvest. So this, again, creates another child off of that parent field. We might also have a parent field that is used year after year after year, so we've got different time points for first year, second year, third year, again, being able to track it back to that original stand. So questions, how do we learn from it? Hopefully we're able to use tools like the Bioenergy Feedstock Library to better understand quality and variability among biomass samples, and hopefully therefore improve research. Hopefully we're able to look at this data, a collection of everything, you know, like I said, as samples from the U.S. and internationally, and be able to ask more precise questions. Where might there be holes in the current research? Where can we see an opportunity to look at more things in depth? I wanted to go ahead and provide a few quick snapshots of the Bioenergy Feedstock Library, things that you might find on there. This is an example of how I looked at some information from the attribute graphs. Again, this was about a specific feedstock and some analysis work that they did. So this portion would be all the publicly available data in the library to get to the point that I'm moving forward to on the next slide. In this case, I looked at switchgrass, ultimate analysis with ultimate analysis and percent nitrogen really as the focus. So this is an example of exactly what I got on the Bioenergy Feedstock Library. These are all of the samples that they have in their library, which happens to be 65 for this specific part, where they have nitrogen data. They've got a nice histogram and analysis of variance. You can see where all of those points lie, the minimum, the maximum, the mean. We also do have an outlier. So one thing that we don't know about this data, even though it provides us a glimpse of percent nitrogen for switchgrass, we don't know where these samples came from. We don't know when they might have been harvested, those specific things. But again, provides us a bit of a snapshot of percent nitrogen of switchgrass. So how does it work? This sort of takes you to a point of, if you want to get started and start working with this data management tool, becoming a user is really easy. You register for a user ID on their library online. It's a really simple, create a user ID, create a password. You also have the option of making your data accessible both private and publicly. So maybe early on in some of your data management, you might want to make it private. That is definitely your choice, and you can always make it public later on, maybe say after publication. You might, as you're starting to put data in, you might say, I want it to go ahead and become publicly available. That is also an option, which is really convenient. This is just, again, an example. This is what I can see on the library. So under their projects, again, I've been able to access the Regional Feedstock Partnership Program for the switchgrass. I see information about project details, who at INL manages that library, and then the sheet sort of goes down further, but I'm also able to see who the other project users and their roles. So, for example, you see my name is listed, and I'm a member, so I'm able to do certain things. by having different roles, you have different capabilities within the library. Also, we have search options. So I was able to go through in some of the beta testing to help them make changes and do things within their library. So I was able to select for the Switchgrass Regional Feedstock Partnership. First, I selected regional partnership. Then I was able to specify switchgrass. Obviously, there have been other crops associated with the RFP. And now I want to show an example of what it looks like when I've pulled data off of their library. It actually exports it as an Excel file again. So it can end up being another large Excel file that we're working with, which may be the best or may not be the best way to have that export happen. But this is an example in that case. So I actually exported switchgrass samples that we sent them from Central Iowa. So this provides information about the metadata. We've got our GUID barcode on the far left. So that refers to that specific sample. We've got information where it came from, who harvested it, when it was harvested, what project it was from, the nitrogen rates, those sort of things. In addition, we also, in that same Excel file, have the option to export what type of analyses that they have completed on them. We might only be interested in certain ones, so we also have the option to select for those specific ones. On these samples specifically, we had fuel property characteristics that were done, moisture, nitrogen, carbon, ash, those sort of things. So, really, what I want you to take home from today's brief sort of introduction to the Bioenergy Feedstock Library is that data stewardship is really important. And again, I think that we all need to be thinking about this in the future. Where do we put our data? What do we do with it? How do we share that with the community as a whole? I'm not saying that the Bioenergy Feedstock Library is the best and the only option, but I think that it has the potential to be a very powerful tool. It is home to already a lot of samples. Everything from the Regional Feedstock Partnership is in there already. Moving forward, like I said, being more aware of our data, where do we put it, data stewardship, I think that should be something that we all focus on. Another exciting thing is you can get started today. So from this presentation, you might be asking a couple of questions. For one, how was our experience working with Idaho National Lab? We've done a lot of this work. We've done beta testing. You know, I've given feedback about my experience, what needs change, what hasn't worked for myself, for how I might see the library. Certainly contact me. I would love to answer any questions about my experience provide some feedback as far as that. And then you might also be saying, I want to know more about the library and how can I get started today? So Idaho National Lab is ready for you guys to start uploading your own data. Kevin Kinney, the director of the Biomass Feedstock National User Facility, is the contact point for that. I've also included the library website at the bottom. I actually have a few handouts, three different handouts. If you're interested, please find me. I'll be in and out of the session all day. I would be happy to share those with you so you can take them home if you're really interested in the library. So with that, I would like to say thank you again and offer any questions. So I believe that forest residues are included in the framework currently. Like I said, there's 70 different species and materials that are in the library. I believe that those already fall in place in the library. The nice thing about the library is you can add pretty much anything you want into the library. The INL works with you at getting those specific samples entered into the library. If you have specific measurements or things that you would like to include, again, they're able to work with you, get those included. And the nice thing is once one person puts it in, then it's the capability of another person adding to that is already in place. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so is there a security aspect? Is there something that will allow, anybody using the data directly?
So with some of those tools that I showed on that, that figure that had six different tools that are currently available, the nice thing is private data that you wish to not be, so say I'm a user, I'm actually not able to see all of the data in the library currently. If those projects that INL has, if they have it listed as private, I can't access those files. They have made them private for probably the reasoning of it being unpublished data. So it is held private. You can at any time make it public. Or if for any reason, I guess if you wanted to always just leave it as private, that is an option. But the nice thing is within that project, you can have as many members that you want. So if you have a large team working together, it's still unpublished, maybe you still want to leave it private for a long time. Anyone that's a member of that specific project can still get in and access it, but anyone else that's outside of your project organization will not be able to see that data.
Thank you.